Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstkeclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Spring training coverage brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And we are here in surprise as they're getting the field ready right now, Kevin, for Kansas City versus the Diamondbacks.
Ooh.
So the Royals and Diamondbacks will play today. Rangers will be back in action here tomorrow.
Yay.
And Thursday. They are at the Giants spring training facility for a game today.
I had a Truly Hard Seltzer last night. It's good. It's good.
All right, nice.
Yeah. Get once it hits your lips.
The grapefruit, or was it the lime? Which flavor? Do you remember?
I think it was like maybe a black cherry.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good flavor. Yeah. Guys, the other...
We don't have any more in our room.
Yeah.
Corey drank them all.
Yeah, all of them last night. There's
worried
like
about
60
the flight
cases.
Going home already?
Yeah, I just didn't want to... the other thing, too, though, is I just saw a video from the Rangers on Twitter. It says that Danny Santana has called his shot. He thinks he will be the first one to steal a base.
That is not what
stadium.
I anticipated that you were going to say.
Okay, so there you go. Who do you guys think?
By the way, that trash can is still sitting out there in the dugout.
All right, so 877-881-1053. We wanted to do this every day around noon with the Tolos because yesterday I asked some freaking amazing questions. 877-881-1053. What is your most pressing spring training question that you need to be answered?
I'm going to start this off while the Tolos get their questions in. Is my dream of Colby Allard making a run at the rotation already dead because of an error at third base?
Well, I won't say it's already dead. I thought his first two innings he pitched okay. He didn't give up any runs.
He needed those double plays to get out,
though. Got two double plays. I thought his command was, for him, remember, he's a guy that throws the ball about 90, 92. He can throw the ball a little bit harder than that. Yesterday, he was sitting around 91 with his fastball. And he was struggling a little bit with his command. But that's not unexpected from guys that are more control pitchers in spring training. It takes them a little bit more time. The guys that come in and just throw heat, they'll usually have better spring trainings because they're usually not trying to be so perfect in hitting their spots. They're going to be like, here's my awesome fastball. Here's my awesome cutter off of that. I usually challenge the guys with that stuff anyway, so I'm just going to do what I do in spring training, what I'm going to do in the regular season. For guys like Colby Allard that are touch and feel guys, guys that have more command issues, as in they need that command to be successful, they might not look great to start off spring training. So I'm not going to say your dream is dead. But I will say that yesterday he didn't look great his first two innings. He looked okay. Then the third inning he actually looked great, and I might have jinxed it because I looked right at you because you were hoping for the Colby Allard situation. I said, hey, this inning he really looks good. And then to the third batter, first pitch, he gets a three-hopper slow roller to third base.
Sherton Apostle is the third baseman.
Yeah, and I just seen a story in the morning news about how great he was, and then we had that. I was like, oh,
he charges the ball nicely. The guy's not running hard down the line, so he just needs to make the throw on the run. We see Beltre make it perfect every time. It's so tough for third baseman now after we watch Beltre from 2011 through 2018 do what he did at third base, because now everybody else, you're like, they're not very good at third. And I think it's just because we're comparing him so much to Adrian Beltre, but he throws it away. Then Allard gives up two hits after that. I believe one to Delino DeShields.
Yes, it was.
And ends up giving up two runs in the inning. They were unearned, but I would say he looked okay. He's still probably going to need an injury in the rotation. And then it'll be interesting if it'll be him or Joe Palumbo who would make that spot. I believe
the
that it's not just Allard if a guy gets hurt. I think Palumbo and Allard are pitching against each other to be like, who's our sixth starting pitcher?
Why, Kevin, is Allard, like, why is that your dream? Is there a specific reason about him?
And it's not just Allard. He was just the first one up. I just like the idea that the young pitchers can push the veterans. That's all it is.
All right.
From the 972, Blake Swihart and Nick Solak, what is their opening day role and beyond? Swihart, does he have a role going forward?
I will have to look up exactly what he does.
At the catcher.
He was on with Jared Sandler yesterday on hanging or whatever.
Well, you're going to have the two catchers are going to be Chirinos and Mathis. That's already decided pretty much through John Daniels. And then I would say then you have Fedorovich. And then you have Jose Trevino, who will be your catchers in AAA. And I would expect – I would think that Trevino is the third catcher who won't be on the team most likely, but who will be in AAA ready to go when an injury happens to a catcher or Jeff Mathis hits the way he did last year. Eventually, I think they'd say, okay, I get it. We owe you $3 million and whatever's left, you know, this season. Let's just say you get 2 months in, you're like, okay, we still owe you $2 million, but we just can't have a 150 hitter in the major leagues playing two out of every six games or so. So Solak, he will be in the lineup, I think, most nights.
Okay.
I do think they're going to start him in center field. Let's see where we go from there. You want to throw out he's going to be in the lineup for a long time. He reminded me a lot of Michael Young last year in September, and I know that's a lot of praise. That's at the plate. You know, second base, Michael Young was a great second baseman. Shortstop, he was able to play shortstop. Third base, it was tough. First base was kind of even tougher because it just got so late in his career to learn a new position. But I believe Solak's going to be in the lineup. I believe he'll be in the bottom third of your lineup to start off. What would be great for the Texas Rangers is that Solak forces his way into batting second, third, fourth, or fifth in this lineup 2 or 3 months into the season because he's such a great hitter.
The 817, how long would it take for Rangers to reconsider the change and go back from turf to grass? I just don't envision that ever happening.
First of all, it costs a lot of money to put in turf, and then it's so low maintenance that you save money on it over time. And so they will, for at least 10 years, be a turf field. And I don't know after 10 years if they would go to grass. Maybe they would, but this is my opinion. I have to watch it a little bit on this, but I think the plan all along was to be an AstroTurf field. They never truly considered it being a grass field, but that's just my opinion. That's my opinion. I'll leave it at that. Okay. I know that they said like, oh, we were going to do this and do that, but then after looking at it, I just think when they were thinking about the indoor stadium, they were just like, we're not going to do what the Houston Astros do, and we're not going to do what the Arizona Diamondbacks did, and that was they were grass field for a long time, and now they're a turf field.
Now, this one is interesting. From the 972, I want to go to you for this, Corey, to know what the actual hype is.
This is your time to shine, okay?
Will Corey Kluber live up to the hype? What do you think is the expectation for Kluber?
Ace.
So multi-time
for this staff, and that's a big deal because this is already you already have two guys that contended for ace status last year. So my unrealistic expectation is for him to come in here and be the pitcher he's been for his career.
So we're talking like top five Cy Young, kind of.
I really do have
that'd
that
be great.
And if he's hitting 92, 94 on the radar, that means that he's got his velocity back to what it should be. I don't know if that can stay all season because he had so much time off last year. But, Mike, and maybe you can attest to this too, when you go through the rehab process, it does, you know, I mean, like you get in better shape sometimes because in some of the things that you do, you become more in shape because of the work you had to do to get there.
Yeah, you have to put in a lot more work because you're not getting to pitch the ball. So it's like, hey, I don't need to lay back here on this workout because it's not like I'm going to go pitch a ball later today or I'm not going to throw a ball tomorrow. So I can really make sure that I'm getting in all the work possible. I will say, if he doesn't live up to expectations, I believe probably for Rangers expectations, and I know wins and losses are tough because that's a lot based off of what you did offensively rather than just the pitcher.
Sure.
But I will say a pitcher still, if you don't give up any runs, you can't lose the game. is that I will say for Corey Kluber, an ERA under 3.3. And I will say that a win total of 15 or more will be like, if he doesn't hit those, then I think if he has like a 3.5 ERA and has 13 wins, I think a lot of Ranger fans will not be like, what a bust of a trade. But I think they'll look at it and go, you know, he'll never be the same.
3.5 ERA, I would even be stoked about that. Sub 3.3.
I think to Corey's point, though, it's about being an ace. And an ace usually has an ERA in the high twos.
Yeah.
Usually has 15 wins on his resume for that season. I know those are basic numbers, but I think that's what I'm hoping Corey Kluber can do, is get back to 15 wins and an ERA under 3.3.
He's a legitimate pitcher. And I know you joke about this with Nick Fangio talking about, is it Drew Locke from We Are Mizzou? He said he's a pitcher that can't pitch. And you and Colby joked about that a lot. But, Mike, I think you know the difference between a guy that's up there throwing and a guy that's pitching.
Right.
Because he's thinking and he's working through setting you up throughout the entire game.
And it doesn't mean that Class A wasn't a good pitcher for the Rangers last year, who got traded, who's going to miss the first 2 months of the Indian season. Is he was a thrower last year.
Yep.
He still doesn't know why he's getting guys out. What he'd say is, I got him out because I threw the ball 102 miles an hour and it had a little bit of cut on it. Like, yes, but why did he look so bad on that swing? And he might say, because I throw 102 miles an hour. Why are you asking me a stupid question? And I'd say, right, but you set that pitch up well. Or why did that 101 mile an hour pitch that you threw, why did it get hit so hard? And then why did the next guy jump on your first pitch right there and hit it so hard? He's like, because they're in the major leagues and they're good hitters. I'd be like, well, yes, that's true. That's not true, but there's reasons why guys are able to hit 101 in that situation, and there's reasons why that same pitch is a strikeout pitch. Sometimes it's based off of the hitter is better and the hitter is worse, but a lot of times it's based off of how did we get to this situation? How did we set up that pitch to be successful? Because sometimes I can get away with a fastball down the middle and strike a guy out. Sometimes I throw that same pitch in a different situation and it's out of the ballpark, and there's a reason why that pitch was a good pitch in that situation and a bad pitch in that situation.
From the 903, is IKF an everyday player long term?
No.
He will not. Okay, so that's already decided.
He doesn't have the power. He probably doesn't have the on-base percentage, right? Because he's defensively, he's not a catcher anymore, right? We know that. Infield-wise, he's solid. Outfield-wise, he's okay. So he's not a gold glove type of guy where we're like, hey, he didn't win the gold glove because his batting average wasn't there. Because it's weird how they hand out gold gloves. You also have to be a good offensive player to get a gold glove.
Well, that was what the Silver Slugger was for. But
yes,
okay.
But he's not that defensively. He's solid in the infield defensively, wherever you want to put him, but he's going to pop you as an everyday player. He's probably going to bat 240 with 5 home runs. That's not really going to get it done. At what position is he going to play that gets it done as an everyday player?
All right, there was one other question that was asked yesterday, Kevin, and it's been asked today again, and I just wanted to see if we can get this one in. Is it still true that chicks dig the long ball? Is that still a thing?
I think 47% of MLB fans are women. It's been proven. In fact, I will put it at 88 million women are really engaged and love the game of baseball.
Why do you think they changed the baseball up, right?
Yeah. I will say that, yes, the most fans love the home run the most out of anything in baseball. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Because, like, we've been to a ton of Rangers games, obviously, and when the Rangers score a run, people are like, yes! All right! But when it's a home run, I was like, oh, my God!
We shoot fireworks off for home runs.
Exactly. Nobody goes, oh, wow, that's a 2-run score into the gap, and they shoot off fireworks. But a solo home run? Let's do this.
Maybe we should.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Who are we?
We are Mizzou.
No.
Oh, sorry. I was conditioned to say that.
No. We're the KNC masterpiece.
Yeah.
We are Mizzou.
And what's coming up next?
That's what I was conditioned to think because of Shippy. He's ruined my brain for that. What's coming up next? Me botching the tease out. But also, Jamal Adams
wants...
We're
still getting our chemistry.
Okay, yes, that's right. This is our spring training, too. Jamal Adams wants all the pass rushers for the Jets. What would be your strategy for the Cowboys?
You want to turn off your mic when
we'll
you're eating
your salad? We'll do all of that and forget this last 1 minute happened next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from spring training. Spring training coverage brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Twin Peaks, and Jellyfish Lighting. Go to 105.3thefan.com and check out. Yes.
Do you think Shippy's having withdrawals without us around? You okay, man?
He sounds sad.
I'm dead. Okay.
Don't forget, we are Mizzou.
Yeah, we are always.
All right. The New York Jets want to make Jamal Adams a Jet for life. We discussed that a little bit yesterday. But then he added some more to this. He was on with NFL Network, and he was talking to Deion Sanders, who is Kevin's favorite player and human and administrator. And he said,
no.
He said, I feel good. It gives me confidence going into next season, but we'll see where everything handles. And
because
he was talking.
Your tone has changed.
that was with us. He said that to me.
He said it's a business. I understand what's going on here right now. Now he's entering his fourth season, and he has a wish list for the GM of the New York Jets.
I'm going to stop you real quick. Why is it that so many high level athletes also think they would be high level GMs? Because we've seen that with LeBron for like the last 10 years. Some of them worked better than
you
others.
You just assume that you've been in the game your whole life, and as your career is winding down, you're like, I know what it takes to be a winner, to be a champion, and I know the pieces that it takes. And it's very difficult to take playing it and even just coaching it, right? Because there's a lot of people that actually most of the people who are really good at the sport at the highest level aren't even good coaches.
No.
Because they can't figure out, why aren't you guys doing this? And it's like, because I'm not as talented as you were.
That's what I always thought with Gretzky. When he struggled as a coach, he was like, why don't you just do what I would do? And we're like, because we can't. Yeah.
And I think that when it comes to general managing, they look at it and go, I can do this because I've been a part of it. I can do broadcasting because I played it. People have asked me questions my whole life about it. I know the answer to your questions. Why can't I broadcast? It should be easy. I know the game. And then it's like, man, this is really difficult to do, and it takes time, and you have to study as hard that you did with your sport to do the general managing, to do the coaching, to do the broadcasting. And a lot of times, a lot of players who made millions of dollars, like, I've worked my butt off since I've been about 6 or 7 years old. I've loved doing it, but I've worked my butt off now as an adult to make these millions of dollars to be a great player. You're telling me I have to work that hard to be good at broadcasting? I know the sport. Like, yeah, but it's different than playing it. And then they're like, I don't really care. Can you just keep giving me a paycheck and me keep doing this? And eventually they're like, no,
we've seen that. And I feel like a Jamal Adams type is sitting there going, man, if I just had this on my team, I could be an even better player. And that's one of the things in his wish list. He said, I would definitely go for Jadeveon Clowney, pass rusher. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's a safety's best friend. Definitely Clowney, big 9-1 down in Jacksonville. So that's your dude that you said is
Ngakoue.
Ngakoue, he wants out. And then he said he's a beast. And then he said Dante Fowler. I mean, there are so many guys coming out right now in free agency that we could use off that end.
Okay, I caught that. Very well done. I think I would definitely put Ngakoue at the top of the list because, you know, and this is something, Bassick, that is interesting, and this might be a totally, totally different segment that we pick up tomorrow or another day, but if you're tapped with having all the talent and all the potential at some point earlier in your career, you can skate for so friggin' long.
Yeah, 100%.
Because Jadeveon Clowney, somebody goes, oh, I thought he was going into his third year. He's been in the league for 6 years, and he's had more than six sacks twice. I know you said the analytics,
Oh, you're talking about Clowney now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody's recyclable as long as you're a first round
pick.
You're like made of aluminum. If you're not a first round pick, you're not made. They'll throw you away.
Dante Fowler. I mean, was he the third pick? And there was a time when this would be his third team now, I do believe. But now there's a little bit of production to go along with the hype. And I wonder, like, why do more people know who Jadeveon Clowney is than Ngakoue? Ngakoue has been far more productive at the NFL level, both at the sack front, at the point of attack, and at forcing fumbles than Jadeveon Clowney. But if Ngakoue hadn't had, if he had had Clowney production, he'd be a nothing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess what I'm really curious about, and 877-881-1053, there are a lot of pass rushers available. a lot of guys that, with the pedigree too. And the talent that are available. Are you in the mode, and have you changed your mindset about what you want to do? Because Mike McCarthy said recently, he was like, we need to get a whole bunch of pass rushers. We need to get those guys because we're going to go out and score 35 points a game. And to be able to do that, you got to be able to have pass rushers too. So we need to go get those guys right there.
They cost a lot of money.
They do. And are you willing, 877-881-1053, are you willing to put the money in that basket right now? Because I feel like I've changed my mind this offseason going away from the model of, hey, let's just keep replenishing and rebuilding, and hey, you know what? Let's add some talent to this roster too, because it's already what I believe a very talented roster.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about that. I don't believe I would make the same move for Fowler, but if you told me right now, because Ngakoue said I don't want to go back to Jacksonville. I do not want to sign there long term. If for some reason they're like, we'd be interested in Amari Cooper, I would do that trade in a freaking heartbeat. I don't know if I would do the same for Dante Fowler, but I would certainly consider it. But why? Because like, he finally had his first ultra productive year after 5 years, but people will be like, well, he was the number three pick, so maybe he's finally just figuring it out. But yeah, I would rather go that direction. Like, if you're, because you said they're expensive,
right?
And we're having enough struggles, like even figuring out how to pay Robert Quinn. And so you'd have to unload Cooper or not re-sign Dak or whatever. But yeah, if I could pick up Ngakoue to go with DeMarcus Lawrence and Robert Quinn, well, hell yeah, I would do that.
Here's what's tough for me, because I have to take this out, because I'm going to say it, but then I'm going to take it out. I don't think the Cowboys will ever overcome Jerry Jones.
Okay.
I'll agree with you, Corey. I thought this team was very talented the last few years. After they put up the 13-3 record, I thought special things are going to happen. I thought it was going to happen in that playoffs. It didn't, but I thought that's okay. We are going to, over the next 3 or 4 years, have something very special finally happen. And we didn't even really come that close to anything special happening. We had to go on a 7-1 run to just make the playoffs one other time. Yeah. I mean, that's how unspecial it was after 13-3 in the rookie season of Dak and Zeke. And so I'm going to suspend that, because I would say I don't think this team is that talented. I think that it doesn't have – you know, I know it's Houston Rockets old saying, heart of a champion, the heart, the focus, the energy, the talent that we all thought it had. That team struggled to go 8-8. They didn't really beat a good team last year. Their best win was against the Rams, if I have their wins right, last year. I guess you could maybe say the Eagles,
yeah.
Right? I mean, those are your two best wins against teams that barely finished above 500. And so to just say the coach was the problem, everything else was super awesome, I struggle with that. And because of that, and I know the Cowboys aren't going to do this, and that's fine, is I would try to rebuild. I would try to start the thing all over and have 2 to 3 years of bad football.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Which wouldn't bug me, because I've seen, out of the 25 years, I've seen about 17 years of bad football. There's been 8 good years since Jimmy Johnson left and they won the Super Bowl in 95 with Barry Switzer. I've seen a lot of bad football over that time. So to sacrifice 2 to 3 years to possibly get a guy on a rookie deal who's your quarterback, who's really good, to rebuild it the right way, to not invest the most money in the NFL into your running back, I would like to trade a lot of these pieces and start over. I know that's not going to happen. I just also want to say, I just don't think you should go all in with this group, because it proved over the last 3 years they're not close.
Ooh. Lot. That's a big bomb for you there, Corey.
Yeah, and I've changed my mind this offseason.
Mike McCarthy would not be thrilled
about it. And I think that's what the Cowboys are banking on. Is that the only thing, and I think they're married to the idea that the coaching staff was the problem last year.
I agree with that 100%.
Their 8-8 was because their coaching staff couldn't motivate the team or whatever it was, or that they were impeding their progress as a team. And so Mike McCarthy and his new staff will change all of that. I'm curious as to if the same talent's there and they have a better season this year, are you going to say, okay, well, that was the cure?
How much better?
Playoffs.
Are we talking 9-7 playoffs, 11-5 playoffs? Because if it's one game, then I'm not going to. But if they go 12-4, then I'll probably be like,
you know
all
what?
Right, you're right.
You know what? The expectation with this team and Dak last year was to get to that next level, was to get to the championship game, right? Not the Super Bowl necessarily, but the championship game. And if they can do that with McCarthy this year, does that prove that it was coaching?
Yes. Look, I'm with you. I don't believe that the coaching solves all of this, but I think that's what the Cowboys think. And to your point, Corey, yes, if they make it to the NFC Championship game, then I'll be the first one in line and be like, well, good for the Cowboys for finally, it took them too long, but finally realizing that if they just revamp the coaching staff and I guess finding Mike McCarthy, that was the trick. Well, hell yeah, I'll agree with all of it. If for the first time in 25 years you make it to the NFC Championship game, then yes, I'll concede all of that. I think that's the simple answer and not necessarily the actual answer.
That's the hope, is all the players were awesome. And all the coaches brought them from 12-4 to 8-8 because that's how bad the coaching staff was.
And I believe also that the coaching staff, that Mike McCarthy came in and said, I can win with this team, with the guys
because
that
he believes it, or because he had to say that to get the job?
I think because he's a good coach. Like, I think he's a quality coach, and I think he was looking at every scenario out there, and he said, hold on, first off, it's the Cowboys. And secondly, and because the Cowboys, it's a big brand. It's the big room. That's what Broadus says, that Sean Payton always says. It's the biggest stage in the NFL, maybe in the world of sports.
Oh, yeah.
So that opportunity was amazing. But I think he also said, I'm not going to go in there. I want to go to a place where I believe I can win, because it helps me immediately reprove that what was going on in Green Bay was a year I got to take off for myself.
I know for the optimists, they'll always believe that the Cowboys, this is their year and they're a championship organization. I'm going to throw this out to you guys. What if the Cowboys go 8-8 this year? With all the same guys, they kind of bring back the team for the most part. I know they'll have probably like guys like Malik Collins won't be here and stuff like that, but pretty much their offense is coming back. Defense, they weren't a good defense last year, but let's just say Leighton Vander Esch is more healthy and Jalen Smith is healthy, but they finish 8-8 again. Are we going to say, stupid coaches, man, but if we just do this and that, we're going to be right?
Probably.
Because will you – I guess my main question will be, will you want to blow up the team if they go 8-8 next year?
Yeah.
But you won't – yes, but you might not have the opportunity anymore if you gave Dak all the money.
Right.
And I think that's one of the issues, is the Cowboys are maybe like 95% sure it was all the coaching staff, but that 5%, they're like, oh, my God, if we give them the 5 years, $180 million, and it wasn't the coaching staff, it's just we don't have the right people in here. Well, how the hell are we going to rebuild now? So, but I probably think people are going to be like, no, it's stupid coaches, blow it up.
Yeah.
Or keep on the right course. And it should be, let's just start trading people. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, oh my God, we're out in spring training. He's taken off his headset because he's forgot it's time to tease baseball nuggets.
Man, what an awesome dinner Dallas Keuchel had. What's the biggest dinner you've ever paid for next?
Oh, but before we get to that, you might be thinking, I can't really afford to pay for any dinner right now. Mm-hmm. I can't afford to even pay some of my bills, quite frankly, and I don't know what to do about it. I'm just gonna do nothing. That is a terrible plan. That is what the Cowboys would do. What you should do instead is you should try to change things up and do something about it. How? You go to DallasTexasLegal.com. You connect with Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS.
Yeah, absolutely. If the endless phone calls from credit card companies and keep you up at night just thinking about, oh my gosh, all of this debt, it's weighing on me. And Kevin, I always say this, it feels a lot better to be able to breathe whenever you don't have all that stress, all that pressure of what you have to owe and how am I ever going to pay this off? That's what you're always thinking about. If you call Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS, you can end all of that immediately. Don't talk to an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. Talk to our guy, a guy that is always around the Tolos and always willing to help. It is Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS or DallasTexasLegal.com. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, live from Surprise, Arizona, where we are currently watching the field get ready for Kansas City Royals and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Rangers are going to be at the San Francisco Giants facility today for a game. They'll be back tomorrow over here. We had Robinson Chirinos on this morning. We had Joey Gallo yesterday. Looks like we're going to have Chris Woodward tomorrow and the possibility of having Todd Frazier as well. So we're looking for, we're trying to hustle while we're out here and get all those interviews in for you. And Kevin, one thing I did see in Rappaport said that it seems that Jason Witten's only opportunity is to follow Jason Garrett
to the Giants.
That's his only option. Gross. And I think that does have a lot to do with if the Cowboys move on.
Evan Ingram, backup tight end.
So there you go. Well, Evan Ingram's hurt all the time, so Jason Witten will get plenty of time there. But right now it is time for everybody's favorite baseball segment in America. It is Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
All right, so let's go to the USA Today, and let's go to former Houston Astros pitcher Dallas Keuchel. He signed a three-year contract this year for $55.5 million with the Chicago White Sox.
That was what my new contract here at the Fan was worth, too.
3 years, $55,000.
Yeah.
For the 3 years total.
They had to sell all of Entercom to get it.
Okay. So, I thought this was a fun article, and Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, whatever that number is, why don't you give it
877-881-1053.
Sweet. Great job there. So, he is with a new team, and this new team is trying to win. And so, he felt great about that. As in, they didn't just sign Dallas Keuchel. Like, here's 3 years, $55.5 million. We're not going to try to do anything else. The White Sox made a lot of noise this offseason. I do think it's going to be very tough to beat Minnesota. I think Minnesota has a very good team. I think Cleveland will be okay, right around 500. The White Sox are the wild card, as in I'm not saying they're going to make the wild card, but you're just not sure if adding all of these pieces to that young core and if guys like Eloy Jimenez and guys like that can keep developing into what they hope they can in 2020, but they are an interesting team to follow. Well, Dallas Keuchel, if you remember, couldn't get a contract last offseason.
Yep.
So he had to eventually sign after June on a one-year deal so he could have the possibility of signing without having draft pick status connected to him and sign without, like, kind of people going, well, we'd like to sign you, but we'd lose our first-round pick if we do. So,
just so he could be mentioned with the Rangers, like, 8,000 times.
Yes.
Like, we have so many questions about him.
Well, what's really cool about this is Dallas Keuchel was in spring training, and since he was with a new team, he said, you know what? I wanted to have a dinner. And at first, he was going to have a dinner, which what he usually has is he treats the pitchers and catchers to a dinner during spring training.
Okay. Because pitchers and catchers report, Kevin.
Yes. Yeah.
But then he decided, you know what? This is a new team, and there's a lot of young guys on this team, too. So I want to make this a big deal. And he said, It just popped in his head, instead of doing just the pitchers and catchers, I want to invite everybody, and not only everybody, I want this to become really tight. I'm inviting the clubhouse kids and the clubhouse attendants. I'm inviting the spouses. I'm inviting the kids. Anybody who's in this major league clubhouse like to come to a dinner and invite your family, if they're here, can come. 125 people came to the dinner. And his bill was approximately $25,000.
A lot of Wendy's burgers.
Whoa.
For that meal. So 125 people, approximately $25,000. And he just said he wanted to.
Does that mean they spent $200 a person?
I guess so. Is that a steakhouse?
Yeah.
He also wanted it to be big time. He wanted it to, for the young guys that are in spring training that have never been in the major leagues, they get to kind of have like a big major league spread. And he wanted to show the White Sox organization how happy they were, or that he is,
that
they're committed to trying to win, because part of Dallas Keuchel's last year complaint, and I totally get it, it is a true statement, is there's too many teams not even trying to win in baseball right now, which is causing a major issue, especially with free agents where there's at least 20 teams going, well, we're not really trying to win, so we're not into long-term deals. We're into maybe signing you to trade you, later in the season. And so he felt great about the White Sox and really wanted to have a big kickoff dinner with everybody in spring training.
Quick question about that.
Why hasn't Mike taken us to a big dinner like that?
That is a good question. He's tried to buy us pizza a couple times, to be fair.
Okay.
Do you think that...
Yes, Corey.
Is at least a part of that is from the Astros' success, since they openly were like, we don't give a crap about winning because we're building up. And then they had the success. So do you think teams have been trying to emulate that?
I'm sure a lot of hit. Yes. Okay. The reason of tanking.
Yeah.
Not only the Astros, the Cubs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, obviously the Rangers made a lot of trades with the Cubs when the Cubs were down.
Yeah.
And because the Cubs are like, look, I get it. We're making tons of money. Tons of fans. We're not developing players. We're not doing a good job with that. We need to get better draft picks so we can hit easier on these. And Chris Bryant, one of the top picks in the draft. And then we'll have more money to spend when it's time to spend. So they go out and get a guy like Lester, who helps them win a championship. They get a guy like Hendricks.
Yeah, Kyle.
Yeah, from the Texas Rangers in a trade. Like, I mean, you can see it all came together for the Cubs in a championship, then the Astros. So a lot of teams saw that and said, look, the recent champs went into bad situations to possibly get this good. It doesn't mean we're automatically going to get this good. We have to start hitting on our draft picks. We have to start hitting on free agents when we're ready to spend again. And the White Sox have taken that same plan of the Indians, Cubs, Astros, teams that have recently been in the World Series and won it, and said, we're going to do it that way. And now the White Sox are spending, thinking that we're now approximately the 2015 Astros.
Yeah. Okay.
Astros making
okay,
it in 15. They surprised everybody by making the playoffs as a wild card team, losing to the Royals in the first round of the playoffs. And then they ended up not making it in 16 and winning the World Series in 17. So the White Sox are kind of like that. And just with all the stuff that Keuchel's probably been through, is like, yeah, there's a lot of young guys here, and I want to show them, you know, a good time and try to bring everything, start bringing things together. Because there's probably a lot of, with that team, not a lot of cohesion right now, because there's so many young guys that have kind of come up with the White Sox, and the new guys they've brought in, where maybe the young guys are like, I remember when that would happen. You're like, son of a gun, man, I thought I was going to make the team, and now they brought in all these free agents and I might not make the team. And just to show like, hey, I know I'm maybe taking your spot, but it doesn't mean we're not on the same team.
Somebody asked in the fan text, now I'm also curious about this, if $25,000 was out the door or if tip was also, because then you got to be dropping at least what, $5,000 to $7,000 for that tip.
It just says in the article from USA Today.
Okay,
says spent $25,000 on a team dinner.
I mean, good for him. I think that's fantastic that he included the spouses and the clubhouse people and all that. That's very cool.
Okay, so now moving forward with this is, Corey, you're really excited about the painting that's happening right now?
Yeah, the guys, so you got the Kansas City Royals logo.
I did also notice.
And you got the Rangers logo on the side here. And these guys, and Kevin, we've seen this before, they hand paint these logos.
You need to do a video.
Rather than using some stencil and like a sprayer, they sit down and they hand paint it with a brush and a bucket of paint, and this is just fascinating.
Hey, are you excited that we clearly take precedent? Check it out. The Royals are about to play here, but they only have one guy painting their logo. We have two people painting the Rangers logo.
We have multiple colors. They're just white and blue, and we're red, white, and blue.
You do know that white and blue are multiple colors, right?
Dang it.
I just really sorry to call you out there.
If I said they only have a few colors, would that still be a bad statement? Because a few to me just means two.
No, that's a couple. A few is three or more.
Okay.
A couple is two.
All right. But yeah, no.
You just ended my baseball nuggets.
No, you still have half your segment. You better get it together, Bassett.
You totally embarrassed me. I feel like I'm working again with Jeff Kavanaugh.
Oh, no.
No. Just kidding. So let's move on to the Texas Rangers. If you didn't hear really early in the show, I talked real quick about Colby Allard, and I didn't talk about Kyle Gibson. So we got to see the Rangers play yesterday. Yep. And so to give you a little bit of a scouting report, Kyle Gibson looks solid. It's early on in spring training,
told
so it's
you,
not
Kevin.
Like he threw 75 pitches and there was a lot to see. He threw a few innings. He looked good. When you
a
watch
couple.
Colby Allard, yeah, he threw multiple innings too. And then when you look at Allard, who threw a few innings, three, or a couple innings, three.
No.
It was pretty good from him, but not great. I mean, if you're wanting a guy like Palumbo or Allard to push one of these veteran guys, which I think most people would say Lyles, to the bullpen, while you'd have a young guy in the rotation, there wasn't enough from Allard. I don't know exactly when Palumbo's pitching. I haven't looked at today's schedule versus Wednesday and Thursday, but hopefully he's not pitching today and we get to see him Wednesday or Thursday pitch, because he has put on some weight, and it's good weight, so that he can handle a longer season this year. And I bet we see Palumbo and Allard in the major leagues at some point. But if you wanted to see something special to push one of these guys, we didn't see it yesterday from Allard. He was fine. He was okay, but
you
nothing
Gibson
special.
Was better?
Yes.
Just yesterday?
He was okay. Gibson was solid, but I'm not – Allard's pitching for something really special right now. He has to try to force their hand to make the team. And even though most likely he's going to go to AAA and be a starter so they can keep him at a 5 to 7 inning guy, so when it's time to come up for an injury, his arm is built up. There have been times in spring training where you have a guy that's going to go to AAA and be a starter. They pitch so great in spring training that you're just like, man – we're trying to win games. Do we really want to send one of our best pitchers to AAA, or should we use them out of the pen and use them in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning instead of sending them to AAA to be a backup when one of these guys gets hurt? Allard didn't do that. For Gibson, he's not pitching for anything special. He has his contract. I'm not saying he's not trying, but he's not out there going, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to impress Woody, I have to impress my catcher that's catching me. He's going out there, getting in his work, trying to be good, but it's just about getting in your work to be ready for Gibson, most likely. March 28th, 29th will be the first time he gets the ball.
Is there a magic number of innings in terms of, like, I got in my work? Because we talked about the 40 at-bats to kind of maybe feel like you're in the flow. Is the same logic there?
So what you want is, usually your schedule will be, and they'll build you up, is 2 innings or 30 pitches in your first outing, then 3 innings and 45 pitches in your second inning, then 4 innings and 60 pitches in your next outing, and then we get to 5 innings, 75 pitches, and you should be ready to go from there, but they'd like for you to get one more outing of, like, 6 innings, 85 to 90 pitches, and then they're like, you're ready to go. If you need to throw 105 pitches in your first game, we feel like we've built you up to that. So that's your 230, 345, 460, 575, 6, and approximately 90, and you're ready to go. You can throw as many innings as you need on your first game to start.
Okay.
It is the way that they build it up, and that's why spring training takes so long. Hitters can get their 40 at-bats in 3 weeks. It takes a little bit more time to build up the arm strength for the starting pitchers. Relief pitchers don't need all this time in spring training. I wanted to get to Chris Sale real quick.
Yeah, this seems like that could be problematic.
He is headed for an MRI. He threw batting practice on Sunday. It didn't go well. He's only 30 years old. And I remember when he threw for the White Sox, when he came up, I was like, man, and he was nasty. I mean, he came up and had really quick success in the major leagues, and I just thought, is that going to last? And I was like, man, I was wrong. It did last. But now I didn't realize how young he was when he came up, because now he's 30 years old. And with what he did last year, struggled with injuries. This year he's headed for an MRI. I'm going to tell you, I bet he's going to need Tommy John surgery.
Dang.
And he's going to have to miss all of this season after missing half of last year and then miss part of next year. And the way that he slings the ball is not a way that you'd really want to teach to pitch. It's a very effective way because you're creating such a tough angle. And his stuff was amazing from that angle. But it's probably not great on your arm to throw on that angle and be a starting pitcher and to try to rack up 200-plus innings and to be able to do it into your mid or late 30s. So Chris Sale, 30 years old, going to get an MRI after batting practice on Sunday, struggling last year. If you made me bet right now, I bet he's going to have Tommy John surgery, and that means he'll miss 2020 and part of 2021.
This might seem like hyperbole, but I really believe this. I think Chris Sale is going to go down as one of the best pitchers ever to not win a Cy Young. Did you know for 7 consecutive years he finished top 6 in the Cy Young?
Wow.
Never won.
What about Rick Helling?
I probably would not.
I would probably say most people would say Nolan Ryan's the greatest pitcher to not win a Cy Young.
I just assume Rick Helling had won a Cy Young.
No.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, breaking 90s Rangers news to you at all times of the day. Coming up next, I've really been looking forward to this segment. Autoflex Leasing Fantex 877-881-1053. What is the most tiresome story in sports to you?
Mock drafts.
Or is it the debt contract? Or whatever else you think. Let us know. We'll do it next, live from Surprise, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.